Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Better turn myself on here so I can get moving. It's good to be here. Man, y'all look good from the distance. Put my glasses on, I might be able to see you, amen? But it's great to be here. I appreciate your pastor and all the members that went over to India. Man, we had a great time over there. People saved. And man, your pastor preached great, amen? We enjoyed him tremendously. And then now I get to come here to Buffalo Ridge and to speak to you tonight. I'm grateful to be here. I really am. Wish my wife would come with me, but she goes with me once in a while if it's a little bit closer and the schedule is not so hectic. I dropped a man off in Roanoke, dropped by here, got to go back to Roanoke tomorrow morning early and get back to Knoxville. So I mean, it's no rush, you know, just going right on. But it's great to be in the Lord's work, you know. There's nothing like being what God wants you to be, right in the center of the will of God for our lives, and that's getting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Like your pastor said, I've been in the ministry now for a number of years, 40 years almost, or maybe a little over 40 years. God saved me in March of 1969. Of course, under my own preaching, I surrendered to be a missionary. That's a good time to surrender, amen? I'd been out on the bus route all day trying to get people in so I could preach to them. And when I preached that night, the Lord spoke to my heart, said, I want you to go. And I surrendered my life to be a missionary back in the 70s. And my wife and I spent 28 years on the mission field. And now we've been traveling the world. In fact, even while we was missionaries, we traveled quite a bit, quite extensively around the world that we might be able to get the gospel. Our American missionary, can I say right off the top, our American missionaries has done a wonderful job. I mean, really, everywhere you go in this world, our American missionaries is taking it upon themselves to reach multitudes. I'm talking about millions of people have been reached because of our American missionaries. And we ought to pray for them. I was thinking about the prayer list tonight. I think about Brother Cadwell being with cancer. Man, that's a terrible thing, you know. But at the same time, excited about going back to serve the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And so tonight, that's our heart's burden, is that we might be able to get the gospel. I've been to many countries. I have a great burden for the Middle East. I've been 8 times to Iraq. I've got a dear man that carried me there, Brother Monteith. I don't know if you know him or not. He asked me to go to the Middle East, and I said, no, I'm not interested in going to that place, especially Iraq. And he said, no, I want you to go with me. And I told him I'd think about it. And, of course, the more I thought about it, the Lord laid upon my heart that I need to really seriously pray about it and go with him. And I went with him. He introduced me to some great men, great men. One man that I preach for every time I go for the last 8 times. Sometimes I preach in his little house there. He'd have 50 or 60 people in his home. Was put in prison about 7 months ago. And tonight he's in prison. There's no lawyer, nothing. We can't get to him. We don't know all the details, all that's going on there, but he's been in prison almost over 6 months, about 7 months now, I suppose. And we got another man that we're working with. We've got so many good things. The door's open. I was telling you, Pastor, at supper tonight, we just had a door open in Syria, but look at Syria now. Door's closed. I think about Lebanon. Lebanon is open. I remember when Syria had their guns all set up in Lebanon. We was there and had the privilege of going through there and preaching in those churches. One of the fellows that I know has got 9 independent Baptist churches there in Beirut and surrounding areas. But that door is closing. All over the world, doors are open, but yet they're closing. We had a man that was in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, this guy would sell leather goods throughout all of the Middle East, and he'd go through Saudi Arabia, and he was saying there was at least 10,000 Christians in Saudi Arabia, and they poisoned him. He died. We don't have anybody going there now. We need somebody to go. We need some volunteers to go in there. I don't know how you'd get in there, being what you are. But anyhow, we the doors are open everywhere. So much to be done and so little is being accomplished. And we hear about these things, but we're not moved at it. Just like tonight, I've got a couple things I want you to... One, especially, is the ministry of the cinema team. We show the Jesus film. Of course, we've got our own Jesus film now. A man went with us to Africa and really burdened his heart about getting some vehicles that would, instead of pushing them on a bicycle, we might be able to get them on a Jeep and go different places. And I've seen personally tens of thousands of people saved because of the cinema team. We'd go out and they'd carry it on a bicycle, or they'd get it there before I'd get there, show the cinema, and then preach the gospel. And thousands have come to know the Lord Jesus. And with this, it's untelling how many people can be saved and Baptist churches can be established in that area. And we want to have that there by September, Lord willing, if everything works like we want it to work. And we're trying to get that, and he's got many more Jeeps coming. We want to at least get one, maybe two, there by September if we possibly can. And we can ship it in a container, probably $3,000 to $4,000. And please pray about that. See what God would have you to do. Pick up one of the cards and take it home and put it on the refrigerator and do something with it. But pray for us. Amen. We need your prayers. And we believe we can make a difference. We're in 7 countries in Africa, all the Middle East. And now we're trying to get some things going down in the Caribbean nations. All kinds of things are going on. Hundreds of doors are open. And we stand amazed what God can do if only God's people would stand with it in prayer. Now, the gospel ought to be free, amen? But at the same time, we know getting the gospel to certain areas, it's very expensive. So we want you to pick up a prayer card. Also, we have some prayer cards back there. Nice looking picture of me and my wife. But anyhow, I want you to pick up one and pray for us. And we need your prayers. We need for you to practice praying for us. Many areas in the world tonight needing to hear the gospel. The only hope of this world is to hear the gospel. If they hear not the gospel, where will they go? Millions away. I heard a man say one time, good news is only good news if it reaches in time. If the gospel doesn't reach in time, I'm glad I was reached, aren't you? I'm glad somebody brought the gospel to me that I might be able to respond to what they told me, that Jesus loved me and died for me and was buried and rose again, and by that, I could go to heaven. Now tonight, I'm on my way to heaven. And I want others. There's millions. There's probably 1 billion Hindus tonight that's lost without God. Many of them live right here in our own country. Buddhist, 1 billion with a B, that's living in our world without God. Very few are reached in our country anymore. A few are reached overseas. I know little preachers over in Burma and all in Nepal and all in those different areas. Man, I'm telling you, they're just having a difficult time, but yet they're still preaching the gospel and people are still getting saved. 1 billion of Catholics and 1 billion of all kinds of people that's never been reached with the gospel. We need to be burdened about it. When we hear these prayer letters being written, read, that these missionaries has written, we ought to be burdened about it. We ought to be serious about it. Most of the time when we see a missionary, what do we think about? You're right, money. But at the same time, we need to be burdened enough to pray for them. How much is prayer worth anything? How much power is there in prayer? Can we really change our world with prayer? Can we really make a difference in our world praying for these men that are giving their life? Many of us wouldn't want to live under conditions that many of our American missionaries live under, not even talking about some of these nationals, what they live under. The little preachers living in a mud hut. The church is made out of mud. But yet they live there. Their offerings, when they bring their offerings, is many times it's just a vegetable. Never forget, I was up in India, way up in the northern part of India, close to China, and I was there, and we was having a like a homecoming we have here in the States, and it's called a Harvest Sunday. Everybody brings their offerings from the fields. Man, they'd come with watermelons, and they'd come with
cantaloupes, and they'd come with cucumbers, big old long cucumbers, and they'd come with all kinds of things, and put it at the altar. I saw a man come in, had two cabbage heads under his arm. Here he come, bringing his cabbage head, brought it and put it on the altar. These men live under very difficult circumstances, but yet they have a burden. You wonder what their drive is. You wonder what makes them continue. What makes a man that lives on what people give him to eat, like maybe beans or potatoes or whatever, that's all he gets. He has no money. They never deal with money. What makes a man keep on? What makes a man keep on? I was in Iraq about a year ago. Well, about 3 years ago now. There was an imam that had gotten saved, and he wanted to meet me, and I was a bit reluctant, you know, being American. Think about a Muslim, you're in a foreign country, in Iraq, you know, have a hard time wanting to meet a man like that. He said he wanted to meet me, and he met me at night. He didn't want everybody to see him out. He came and sat down in the home, not in my motel, just in a home. And I asked him a question. I said, all I want to know is, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He told me a story, fascinating story. He said, I was walking down the street in the middle of the day, and he said, somebody came up to me. He said, I don't remember exactly who it was, but he said he was a fellow Iraqi, walked up to me and handed me a DVD on the life of Jesus. He said, I didn't know what it was. He said, I just put it in my hand and walked on back to my mosque, and when I got to my mosque, I put the DVD in the DVD player, and I watched it. And as I was sitting there watching that DVD, God smote my heart. I thought, wow, that's good. He said, God really burdened my heart. And he said, I listened intently. And he said, God kept on speaking to my heart that you need to be a Christian. And he listened to it. And he said, on Sunday, this is it. I'm going to become a Christian. Now, you got to realize this. Here's a man that's a Muslim. He's an imam. His church, or his mosque, runs 500 men, not counting women and children. 500. And now he's sitting in his, whatever it is, his living room, whatever it may be, and watching a DVD and gets under conviction about becoming a Christian. So he decides, on Sunday morning, I know where a Christian church is at, or at least it professes to be Christian. He didn't say it that way. I did. He went down to the Catholic Church. Went down to the Catholic Church, went in the Catholic Church, did all the things that the Catholic did, and he was hoping that he would become a Christian that day. And he said, nobody mentioned about becoming a Christian. Said, well, they did a lot of rituals. But he said, I was so excited at the moment that they could say, you now are a Christian, to pronounce me as a Christian. Said, that never happened. So after the service, he went down forward and he talked to the priest and said, priest said, I want to become a Christian. The priest looked at him and said, oh no, you can't become a Christian. Oh yeah, I listened to a DVD and it very clearly that I could become a Christian. And I want to become one. Oh, no, you can't become one. And by the way, you got a good book. The Koran's a good book. Just stay with it. You can't leave. And you know that if you're converted as a Christian, they'll kill you. He said, I know that. But he said, I must become a Christian. Can you imagine that? It's hard to believe that. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? I met him. Met him on several different occasions. And he walked away and he was so despondent. I cannot become a Christian. He said, you know, I might have missed something on that DVD. I think I'll go back and watch it again. He watched it every day, some days twice. And he was convinced, I can become a Christian. I just need to find somebody to do it. Maybe I need to say the right thing to the priest and he'll let me become a Christian. He goes back to the... Sound like a fairy tale now. He goes back to the same Catholic church. Goes through the same rituals. And after the service, he says, I'm determined to make that priest understand that I want to become a Christian. And the priest tells him the same thing. No, you cannot become a Christian. How would you like to live in a society like that? Well, I'm glad I'm an American, aren't you? I'm so thrilled about being American, I don't know what to do. I'm glad that we can come to Buffalo Ridge and that we can stand here and preach and we can brag on Jesus and do anything we want to do as to the matter of the Scriptures and the Word of God. Thank God for that. But here was a man that wanted to be, but he could not. They would not. Happened it was, I got a dear friend of mine that works with the liaison officer. He works in northern Iraq and he works with the president and all that stuff. He's a Catholic, not a Christian, but a good friend of mine. He said, I noticed him standing there. He told me this story later as well. Now, this imam's telling me how he got saved. He noticed the imam standing there begging the priest to become a Christian. The priest said no. And when he heard that the priest would not do anything with him, he wrote a telephone number down and said, call that number. That was our man, Aram Abbas. In 15 minutes, he led him to the Lord Jesus. Now, he cannot tell his wife nor his children that he's a Christian. Boy, that makes me glad to be American. I don't have to worry about all that. There's no persecution right now, maybe later. But he couldn't tell his wife. And he told Aram, I want to leave the mosque. And he says, you can't leave it immediately. If you do, you get killed. He said, what should I do? Aram said, I'll teach you what to say on Friday night. He's a preacher. Every Thursday night, he teaches him what to say in the mosque on Friday night. Now, you don't believe that, do you? That sounds like a fairy tale. Don't sound real. But it's happening. Every Friday night, that imam stands before his congregation, and he's teaching them Jesus. And he finally told him, I cannot pray in Allah's name no more. I know dear men that have lost their lives because they said, stand him in the town square and say, listen, you say Allah is God. No, Jesus is God. Shoot him right on the spot. He knows that. The last time I heard from him, he's driving a taxi and trying to preach on Friday night, Jesus in a mosque. You know, we as Christians in America, maybe we need some of that good stuff. Maybe we need some persecution. We don't know what it is to live in a village with no electricity. No water, no nothing. Maybe we need to live like that for a while. I thought I had it rough growing up over in Carolinas, but nah, I had it made. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's hundreds and thousands of little preachers that are out in a village that has nothing. And they are reaching their people with the gospel. The last time I talked to that imam, he said, would you please get me a country that I can go to? I'll go to any country. He said, I've got to have freedom to learn my Bible and to pray. And we're trying now as we speak, we're trying to get him into Lebanon and trying to get him set up there, which is not a good situation, but it's better than where he's at. What am I saying? We need to get the gospel. We need to train these men to get the gospel to deeper into these areas. Many countries have been open, now they're closed. Right now, we've just opened the country of Sudan, southern Sudan. Millions of people have lost their lives in southern Sudan. They're still fighting on the borders. But we got a little fellow named Julius. Julius Magoo. What a name. Julius Magoo is about the size of my thumb, a little taller than my thumb. Walked 2 weeks His mom and dad said, we don't know what's going to happen to our country. We want you to go to the border, and we want you to get an education so you can come back, and maybe one day we'll have some freedom. He walks 2 weeks to the border, finds a little Baptist church, gets born to the family of God, and I watched him every year be in a Bible institute that was in Eldoret, Kenya. I watched him grow. And I finally watched him graduate. And I finally watched him to walk off in the sunset going back to his country. I saw him last year for the first time in a number of years, a couple, 3 years. And he said what we did was, we got it on DVD. He said, we went back into the interior of Sudan. And he said, I found the biggest tree that we could find in town. And we started a Baptist church. How many you got in church? Said runs about 200. They don't operate with money. But yet they're seeing people saved. I said, how about preachers? Have you started any? Yeah, he said, we've trained 16 preachers. Can you imagine that? Under a tree. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But God's people are doing it. God's people can do it. Doors are open. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? We sit here tonight. We've got everything we ever needed. I don't know of any more comfortable people than those of us that are sitting here tonight. We're comfortable. We got everything we need. Clothes on our back. Shoes on our feet. Food on our tables. We're happiest if we had good sense. But the world tonight, in many parts of the world, have never heard of the darling name of Jesus. Never heard it. They wouldn't know anything about it if you tried to tell them about Jesus. They've never heard about it. What are we going to do? We need to win the loss, whatever the cause. I want you to look at a couple of passages of Scripture. There are several things I need to do, but time goes by so fast when you're up here for some reason or another. But anyhow, we'll get her done. Hey, we'll do something. I want you to look at one passage of Scripture. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, and many times we preach it when we want to get something done in the area of evangelism. And we preach it during missions conference, and every missionary comes through probably will hit on it once in a while. And you know, it's a very important verse. We know the setting. We know that the Lord Jesus has been crucified, buried, rose again. If you want to offend people today, preach the gospel. If you want to offend anybody, one of the things that will start a church and will keep a church growing and will keep it at top-notch shape, if you preach the gospel. Just the unadulterated gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Those little old preachers all around where they're preaching the gospel. But I want you to look at this passage. Jesus is now ascending back to heaven. And he commands them. He said there in verse number 16, then the 11, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's just like tonight. When the challenge is given to the church to reach the world, we doubt if we can really do it. Most of us are like when Jesus said, we've got 5,000 people here, let's feed the crowd. You remember what the disciples said, you remember? They all began to look in their pocket and say, oh, that can't be done. A lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, you know, if they see something good, they'll throw a little money at it. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, there's a man that's got $50 million and he's just going to throw it away in missions. I'd like to be a recipient of some of that. But anyhow. But the 11 disciples went away. Notice me, Father. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Now, this power that he's talking about, he said, once that you have received this power, you're to be a witness with this power. You're to tell people about that. Now, when you try to challenge a Baptist church to reach the world, it goes over our head. You watch it. When we try to challenge a Baptist church to reach a world, we don't think we can do it. One reason that we don't think we do it, because we're not doing it where we're at. If we're not reaching the world where we're at, how in the world is the world going to be reached where they're at? That's the reason Jesus said here in verse number 18, he said, all power is given to me. Once that this power has been given to you, you shall be witnesses, over in Acts 1 and 8. And then he goes and say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now this is a powerful verse if we'll take it to heart. This verse is to the church. This verse is to the church, the local church, the local assembly of believers. We are to reach, you and you and you, all of us are involved in reaching the world. Not just some of us, but all of us are involved in reaching the world with the gospel. Do you believe that? What are we doing about it? It's not how much money we give to it. It's what are we doing to get the gospel to the next person, to the next door, to the next street, to the next town, to the next state. What are we doing? What are you doing? That bothers me. I hear preachers saying, well, our churches are dying. Thank God this one's not dying. Thank God it's moving right along. That's good. But a lot of preachers saying the church is dying. Hey, you go into church and sit and listen to them, you know why it's dying? You know why? No gospel. We're the most educated people in the world. We send our preachers off, and we train them. They get good training. They get good teaching. We come back. We know everything about the scriptures, but when it comes down getting the gospel out, we can't do it. We're not doing it. The world is without God. How in the world can we sit in India and talk on our cell phones? That always baffles me. I use the same number there as I do over here. But yet we can't get the gospel out. This is a powerful verse. Probably one of the most powerful verses in all the entire Word of God. Jesus said to 11 men. Can you imagine that? Talking to 11 men, go ye therefore, and maybe a few more, but at least 11 he's talking to. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So you know what that tells me? We got more than 11 here tonight. And that tells me we ought to be reaching the world. And maybe you are within your own way. We should be. If you're not, we should be involved in it. The world's waiting. I can take you to places tonight. I mean, I can take you to places tonight where there's millions of people that are dying and going to hell. We'll never have any hope at all. They'll never hear the gospel. There's not many missionaries going to the Middle East. Too dangerous. It's not easy. What are we going to do with them people? See, anytime we have a missionary or a missions conference or anything we are involved in reaching our neighborhood, we're involved in reaching or trying to come to a plan that we can reach the whole world. We need to make some kind of preparation. We need to say we are going to do what we can while it's still day to reach a world. When you preach that, it sounds hollow. It don't sound real. When you try to challenge a church, you know, you say we just limited number of us. I understand that, but the church has been given this command: go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's not through missionaries; it's getting the gospel out. That's the deal. I'm not talking about, you know, our missions is doing all kinds of things. We're trying to reach with our bus ministries. We're trying to do it with our Sunday school. We're trying to everything. But yet, what are we doing to reach the world? That's what he says. Go ye therefore and teach all, A-double-L. I learned that word in Bible school, and I know the meaning of it. You know what that word all means? That's right, all. All nations, not just one, not just two, but all of them. How do we do it? In the book of Acts, 1 and verse number 8, the Bible talks both. That word both, if I'm not mistaken, it means at the same time. In other words, we're both to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And that wears on you after a while. That's what I've been doing for the last 40 years, running up down these in the airplanes. I've got almost 2 million miles logged in on airplanes that I have flown around this world, flown it too, amen, but around this world, trying to get the gospel to people. It's wearing on the body. But listen, I don't know of any other way to wear out than to wear out for Jesus Christ. This world needs God. This world, like it's never needed before, this world needs God. And the only way they're going to hear God or to find out about God's dear Son is you and I tell them about it. Can we depend on the church down the street? No. When I read this passage, it's talking about this church. We've got a responsibility. Go. In Acts, it talks about once that you've received this power. Lord, do I remember the day that I got saved? What a day that was. What a glorious day that was. My brother, he had gotten saved in July 1968, and he was a fighter. From the word go. And he didn't want nobody saved until I got saved. And he was all over me, like stink on a cat. He was all over me. And I just said, I just can't see myself becoming like him. And he kept witnessing to me. He kept witnessing to me. He said, I know that you need to be saved. And I said, I don't want to be like you. And he said, I don't want you to be like me either, but you need Christ. On an airplane somewhere between Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Oakland, California, I bowed my head and said, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm not much, but here am I. I want to be saved. He came into my life, changed my life. Changed my life. Changed my life completely. And that's the reason I've been feverishly, and that's the reason I've done it tirelessly. It's getting the gospel to all parts of the world. It's just one of me. A lot of people today are not too excited about getting the gospel out. You know what I see in American religion, American churches, Baptist churches? Well, I'm here. If you're taking roll, I'm here. What are you doing to get the gospel? The four quadrants of this world. Never mind that, but I'm here. I'm serving the best I know how. People need to be saved. I don't have to tell you that. Your preacher tells you that every week. People need to be saved. And the only way people get saved is somebody's got to tell them what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And if we don't tell them, they'll die without God. I was way off down in, I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to sit down. I was way off down in India, below Hyderabad, way off down in the middle of nowhere. Little fella had went to this town, little village, and he was going there to preach, start a church. He'd had a little training in Hyderabad, and he moved there. Him and his wife just had nothing, just nothing. And he started the church. just a handful of people. Most of them didn't want him there, hated him, tried to kill him, tried to do everything. They did kill their son, killed him, just cut his head off, taking his head and put it in the door of their little mud hut they lived in. Thought that was going to stop them. The people that told me that story was the people that did that to his son. You know, I marvel at what God used. I heard a message just last week over at a friend's meeting in Knoxville that God is attracted to weak people or weak things or weak men. He said it takes weak people so that God can be shown strong through them. I like that. See, we sit in our Baptist churches thinking that God can't use me. I'm too old. I'm too young. I got to do this and that and the other. Wait a minute. Is God too weak to provide what we need? Now, I know. Sound like I'm talking foolishness tonight, doesn't it? Sound like I don't know where I'm at. Maybe you can chalk him up. He's just an old man. Been in missions too long. Maybe he needs to come home to America. I'm convinced that everybody needs to be involved in getting the gospel out. Everybody. If you're not involved in getting the gospel out, you can't be right with God. You can't be. The gospel is so important. How important is the gospel to you tonight? Jesus said every nation needs to hear. Every creature needs to have the gospel preached to them. If that's true, we are failures. But we sit up in here like, there's no problem. Preach it, preacher, preach. You're sounding good tonight. Go for it. But is that all it is to it? No, my friend, there's a world still out there. I'm talking about billions. Billions with a capital B. That's without God, without hope. No hope at all. And they'll never, can you imagine being a little baby born last night in a country where the gospel is forbidden? Do we have a plan to reach that little baby before he gets to maturity? What are we going to do? If it's a normal Baptist church, we'll keep on doing the same thing we've been doing for the last whatever. God speaks and we said, I'll think about it. The most serious business is the business of God of telling about his son that died on the cross and was buried and rose again. There's no greater message. There's no greater thing that we could do. Nothing no greater. The world is waiting. The world is waiting. Doors are open. Vietnam, down through the Caribbean. We got pockets of people that lives in this country that's never reached. I go throughout this country. I go from the east, west, north, south, all of it. You know, I don't see many Muslims in our church services. I don't see many Hindus or Buddhists. The most I see is ex-Catholics that are now born again. What's wrong with them? Are we afraid of the people? What are we going to do? My heart's heavy tonight. There's a million things I'd like to do tonight, but I cannot. You know why? There's only one of me. That's the reason Jesus said, labors a few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest Lord, would you give us laborers? Will we sit down with the pastor, with the men of the church, and say, how are we going to reach 7 billion people? How are we going to do that? Is it possible? Or is God just, you know, just writing like we are Baptists, you know? He just wrote one day, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that what he's saying? No, no. God's got a plan. And his plan only involves you and I. Christians, born again people. That's God's plan. Now, what are we doing with that plan? Well, we've not reached the world. Doors open, doors close. Can you hear that call? Come over and what? Help us. Not me. But those people are crying out tonight, would you bring the gospel to me? Would you bring it to me? Would you bring it to me? I want to hear it. I don't want to go to hell. I want to hear the gospel. Do you hear it? Have you heard it? Are you hearing it? If not, you're not where you need to be. The world's waiting. Come over and help us. Oh, you may have to leave your comfort. That's the number one problem with Americans, is leaving the comforts of America. As a missionary, that's one thing I miss more than anything else in the world, was the comforts of America. I remember when we couldn't take a shower. I thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. Could not take a shower. Had to take a bath in a tub. That may not be repulsive to me, to you, but it is to me. I'm sorry. The comforts of America. What are we doing to reach the world? Probably the most powerful message of the entire Word of God is the Great Commission. And we're not doing much with it. Supporting a few missionaries. We don't know who they are, other than through a letter. Our Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, my, how we need laborers. Not me, but you. And God, you need laborers so we can reach this world with the gospel. Millions are groping in darkness, having no hope. We'll never have hope. They'll spend all eternity in hell because no one reached them with the gospel. May that be our business as Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, to reach the world with the gospel. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, would you stand to your feet quickly? If God's spoken to your heart, you need to move out of your place, you come on tonight. If God's spoken to your heart, you need to just come. We'll play in just a minute, but right now, if God has spoken to your heart, maybe you need to slip out of your place and say, I'm going to be one of those that's going to do everything they possibly can to reach the world with the gospel. I'm going to do everything I can to do my part. God spoke in my heart. Would you slip out of your place right quick? We'll sing in just a moment. There's others that need to slip out of your place. You come on. There's some that's brave enough. There's others that need to take their stand. Would you do that? Just quickly. Just quickly. God, here am I. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I want to be a part of reaching the world. I want to reach the world. That's my job. I'm going to reach the world. God's commissioned me to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through my local church. Thank you, Father, for what we've heard and felt tonight. Do what needs to be done. In Jesus' name. Brother Jim.
Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Brother Gary will sing for us. I don't know how the Lord's using this message in your life, or if he's spoken to you in a great way, or dealing with you silently or in a very loud way. We ought to be thankful Christians. As somebody obeyed the command of the Lord to give us the gospel, we don't want to be hypocrites and keep it to ourselves. As Brother Gary sings this, there's still time for you. Come on, okay?
Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord. A passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long. I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon today.
Playing through softly, I'd like to ask Brother Tilly to make his way out to the lobby, so our folks can greet you. Appreciate your burden, your heart for the Lord and missions. Reminds you about the men's retreat this Saturday, 9 o'clock. Reminds you about the outdoorsman wild beast feast next Saturday. Do your part trying to get people here. Be right in your place on Sunday. Let's come pray and believe in the Lord. Give us a great day on Sunday. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Implant this message on our hearts, I pray. Speak to us and continue to use it, I ask. Bless Brother Tilly. Bless his dear wife and the ministry that you've given him. Continue to use him for your glory to help plant churches around the world. And bless these faithful, faithful people scattered around the world that we've never met, but who's being faithful to you. Encourage him, I pray tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Speak to each other on the way out. Brother Tilly's out in the lobby out there. You speak to him, okay?
Those going